Well, out of curiosity, and the reason for my curiosity was because of things I was studying for this passage, and I say that because when I tell you I'm about to tell you, you might think it's kind of strange. Out of curiosity, the other day, I scrolled through the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives list. Now, I wasn't checking to see if any of you were on the list, but I was thankful to see that none of you were. But the ones who were there, they're bad. These are bad men, if they are guilty of what they're being sought for. It was mostly murder. Some of it was kidnapping. There were things drug and gang related along with murder. These are dangerous men. And that's why they made the list of the 10 worst. But they missed some. As I looked through that list, I noticed there were some they missed. If I had spent more time looking, I suppose there are other lists that can be found of others on the worldwide scale who are considered the worst of the worst and most dangerous. Things like their involvement in terrorism, war crimes, things like that. Really awful people. But there are some who are even more dangerous. There are some very dangerous people who are moving around the world freely. Some of them are very well known. Their whereabouts could be easily discovered. But not very many are aware of just how dangerous they are. So no one's trying to capture them. And there are even more people who blend in so well that they would be hard to find if someone was looking, but they are very, very dangerous. So what is there? Who is there that could be even more dangerous than murderers and terrorists and war criminals? Jesus warns us about them in the verses that we're looking at this morning in the next section of the Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew 7, verse 15, "Beware of the false prophets." Oh, is that all? Someone might be wondering. How does he think that false prophets are even more dangerous than terrorists? Some might wonder. Terrorists kill people. False prophets just talk. What's the big deal? Well, here's why I believe. False prophets are worse than terrorists, murderers, and war criminals. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that verse is talking about God, who we are to fear rather than man. A man can kill you physically, but that's it. The consequences of the death that comes from God are eternal. That destruction that Jesus talks about there, Matthew 10, in hell, will come upon anyone who dies in their sins without being made righteous by the means that God has provided for them to be righteous. And false prophets are in the business of keeping people from knowing about and believing in the way God made for man to be forgiven and to be made righteous. That's why false prophets are so dangerous. The consequences of what false prophets do for the many who they deceive can be eternal. So when Jesus says, "Beware of the false prophets," he's serious about this. They're dangerous. The verses we looked at last week, verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 7, were serious. that there are only two possible gates that everyone who ever lives can go through. One of them is the wide gate. It leads to the broad road that leads to destruction. And Jesus says it is traveled by many. The other gate is narrow. It leads to a narrow road that leads to life and is traveled by few. And there are no other options. There is no other gate to go through. It's either eternal life or eternal death, depending on which one of the two gates you enter. The wide gate is initially entered by everyone because of our sin. It puts everyone on the broad road that leads to eternal death, because that's what our sin has earned us. But God provided an exit ramp off of the broad road through the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ, by grace alone, through faith alone, to get to the narrow way that leads to life. And Jesus is that only gate that you can pass through to get there. From that, now Jesus says, beware of the false prophets, because they get themselves stationed near the narrow gate to convince people to turn away and look somewhere else. Or they get themselves parallel to the narrow way. They walk right alongside of Christians, true believers, to deceive those who have trusted in Christ and gotten off of the broad road and onto the narrow way, so that we don't direct people off of that broad road and onto the narrow way, through the narrow gate. The consequences for those who stay on the broad road are eternal. So, because the outcome of verses 13 and 14 are so eternally important, Jesus warns us with a serious warning, beginning verse 15, that we must be vigilant. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. This word, beware, is a present tense command, which means that this is to be a constant way of life for Jesus' followers. That we are always to beware, never letting our guard down. To always be watching, to be vigilant. We are always to be testing. Like John warns, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is real. This isn't just in theory, if this were to happen. This is not something just to give theologians something to talk about when they get together for conferences. This is real. There are many false prophets in the world. And they are teaching things that are wrong, and people are being deceived and misled, and the consequences can be eternal. So we should always be like the Bereans in Acts 17 who received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And these things were the things they heard from the Apostle Paul. And they were testing everything they heard every day, even though what they were hearing was coming from the Apostle Paul. And they're commended in scripture. They were noble-minded for not just immediately rejecting everything they heard, but also not just accepting whatever they heard. They tested all of it against scripture to see if it was true. That should be our way of life. To beware. Test. Be careful. Now, before we go any further in this, maybe we should define what is a false prophet. What do we mean here? Who are we talking about? And when we hear something about a prophet, what probably generally comes to mind first is we think of someone who reveals things about the future. We have God's word. It's complete. God has told us everything we need to know about the future, so we don't really need prophets. So maybe they're all false. If a prophet is a true prophet, in that way of thinking, if that's what a prophet is, then they got that knowledge about the future from God, and what they said would come true. That's the way the Bible gives to test it. But more generally, a prophet is someone who is a spokesman for God. So it's not just about predicting something that's going to happen in the future. It's someone who is a spokesman for God. Now, a lot of what is recorded in the Old Testament from the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc., was God's message to the people where they were. It wasn't just about what's going to happen in the future, but it was things about where they were right at the time. So really, this passage here, Matthew 7, could be talking about anyone who is claiming to be speaking God's word. Anyone who claims to be teaching, professing, proclaiming, speaking God's word. It's the false part that's the problem. A false prophet. They claim to be speaking God's word, but they're not. That's what we have to beware of. And it happens a lot. Now, this isn't talking about someone who is just mistaken. That can happen. We can come to wrong conclusions. We can be wrong about things. There could be some things that we thought were right, but later on we learn that they're wrong. That person is not necessarily a false prophet. We're not talking about someone who's just hasn't been well trained in God's word. They're a young believer. They haven't learned much yet. They have some wrong ideas about some things. That's not necessarily a false prophet. We may have some honest disagreements on how to understand some things in Scripture. That can happen. We're fallible. None of us are perfect. None of us perfectly understand everything of God's word. That doesn't necessarily make someone a false prophet. A false prophet is someone who claims to speak for God, but they're doing it deceptively. They're deceivers. And a lot of them are good at it. That's the problem. Well, that's a big part of the reason that this is so important. That Jesus commands us that we must be vigilant about this is because of the tactics that they use. Jesus says of these false prophets, they come to you. So they're not just sitting around waiting and hoping that someone will come to them and say, hey, what do you believe? They come to you, followers of Christ. They come among you. They actively put themselves among the followers of Christ and actively mislead people. The false prophets who come to you. In Acts chapter 20, Paul had one last time to meet with the elders of the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was the place where the Apostle Paul spent the longest. He had a close relationship with that church, with those elders of that church. He called for those elders to come meet with him. He was on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that when he got there, he was going to be arrested. This is going to be the last time. This is going to be his last words for the elders of the church at Ephesus. The main thing that he had to say to them on that last time that he would talk to them was a warning. Acts chapter 20, verse 29, he says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. And notice where he says they will get themselves to. He says, he doesn't say they're just out there. He says they will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30, and from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. But Paul says that these false teachers would come right into the church among the believers there. And that some of them would even come from among them, those elders that he was talking to, people who he had served with. They all had trusted and worshipped with. It could even be some of them. But if they're wolves, how did they even get in? He says they're savage wolves. How'd they find their way into the church? And why didn't they just boot them out? It was because of the next thing Jesus says in his warning in Matthew 7:15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, this is one of the reasons they can be so dangerous. We have to be so careful because it can be really hard to tell. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, false prophets don't go around with a badge or a name tag that says, "Hello, I'm a false prophet. How can I mislead you today?" They're sneaky. They can look just like everyone else. They can talk almost just like everyone else. They might even appear to be more spiritual than anyone else. They might be a very nice person. They may appear to care very much about your well-being. They can use the Christian language. They can even say a lot of things that are true. But they can be really good at hiding that little bit that's false. And it only takes a little bit in the right area to be deadly. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, Paul says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Now that's serious business. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 tells us that Satan has schemes. He makes plans. He figures things out to deceive people. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about the help that he has. The powers of the air, demons. They're in 2 Corinthians 11 where I read tells us about others who are his servants, people in this world who work along with him. He has a lot of help. Satan has a lot of years of experience. He's smart and he lies. Satan has no moral standards that would put any scheme below him. There is nothing that is at a point where he said, "No, that's too deceptive. I won't go there." He does not have that standard. He will be as deceptive as he can be. And he's good at it. We can't take this lightly. Martin Lloyd-Jones commented, "We have somehow got hold of the idea that error is only that which is outrageously wrong. And we do not seem to understand that the most dangerous person of all is the one who does not emphasize the right things." That's where the danger lies. If someone were to make claims that Jesus is not God and the whole Bible is just a bunch of fairy tales, well, we would know right away that's a false teacher. We should not listen to them. But those aren't the most dangerous false prophets. In the book of Jude, we find this in verses 3 and 4. Jude, verses 3 and 4. "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, Hey, pay attention to that. These are not people who are making it obvious. They crept in secretly. They were unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, these were people. Notice what they were doing wasn't obvious. They came in unnoticed. And they apparently did a lot of talking about grace. Well, grace is essential. Everybody who knows Christ should talk a lot about grace. We should love to hear about grace. But we should also understand what the Bible means by grace. And along with grace, we should talk about and hear about things like obedience. That's important too. And that Jesus is Lord and he ought to be obeyed. And things like 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15, where believers are commanded to be holy. We should consider how Jesus died a terrible death because of sin, and sin is awful. We need to talk about that, study about that, hear about that. Now, I've heard things taught about grace where it has been emphasized in a wrong way. They're talking about grace, they're using the word, but they're emphasizing it in a wrong way so that even if they don't outright say it, you got the impression that because of grace, sin really doesn't matter. That because of grace, you are free to live however you want. And I've seen some who have heard that teaching and have believed it and have lived it and have ruined their testimony before the watching world. According to Romans 6, what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say about using grace to say that sin doesn't matter? And that because of grace, you can live however you want. And we looked at Romans 6 this morning in the adult Sunday school class. What does Paul say? Absolutely not. May it never be. How could you even think such a thing? It's wrong. But sometimes it's that kind of teaching that people want to hear. Sometimes people want to hear that they are free to do whatever their flesh wants them to do. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Paul knew what was going on. People know what they want to hear, and false teachers know how to give it to them. False prophets know how to scratch that itch. Jeremiah, the prophet, was a true prophet. He came to deliver the message that God had given to him to deliver. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, it says this about false prophets. It says, they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially. And the people of Israel were suffering. Things weren't going really well. False prophets said, hey, I know what you want to hear. I know how to make you feel better. And Jeremiah says, God says, well, they healed the brokenness superficially. How did they do it? Saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. That was the message the people wanted to hear. Peace, peace. But there is no peace. And these were people who claimed to be speaking God's message. This is what God says, they said. They told the people what they wanted to hear. Oh, everything's going to be okay. Our nation is going to get turned around and we're going to be safe and prosperous. We're fine. You're fine. Everything is fine. Just stay the way you beautiful people are. Nothing needs to change. Everything's great. But everything wasn't fine. Jeremiah had been sent by God with a warning. He was sent by God to prepare the nation because everything is going to fall apart. Because they had disobeyed God and gone to idols. Now the people of Israel did not want to hear that. They preferred to listen to the ear ticklers. They liked the message better of the ones who say, peace, peace, everything is fine. So what did they do to Jeremiah? Well, his message was depressing. They threw him in jail. Later they threw him down a well. They didn't want to hear it. Another commentator said this about false prophets. There is nothing in their preaching which searches the conscience and renders the empty professor uneasy. Nothing which humbles and causes their hearers to mourn before God, but rather that which puffs up, makes them pleased with themselves and to rest content in a false assurance. So if you ever come across a teacher who will only talk about the love of God, is the love of God important? Absolutely. God is love. We don't want to minimize that. But if that's all a person will talk about, and his grace, and who just pats everyone on the back to congratulate everyone on how wonderful they are, but they don't talk about sin. They don't talk about God's wrath, or the reality of hell, or they never make a person feel uncomfortable or grieved because of their sin. You just may have found yourself a false prophet. Flee. Get away. They tell you what you want to hear, make you feel better. They're dangerous. Jesus warns that though they may look like and sound like they're just another sheep or even a shepherd, inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You don't play around with ravenous wolves. Get away. Flee. This is serious. This is not something we can take lightly. It's not something we can just pass off and say, oh, that was a concern back then, but we've got it figured out now. It doesn't matter anymore. This isn't the kind of fun and joy-filled passage that we maybe like to study, enjoy studying. And there are those, but this is necessary. We need to know this because there are wolves out there. And when I say out there, I mean they could be in here. And it can be difficult to tell. They're dressed like sheep, look just like everyone else. But Jesus gives us a way to discern the identity of these false prophets. Verses 16 through 20, Matthew 7. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. How can we tell? Jesus says we can, if we're watching, if we beware, if we are careful. If someone looks like a sheep, they could actually be a wolf on the inside. How do we know? By their fruit. Now, that could mean a few things, like look at their life, look at their teaching, and look at the results of their teaching. Jesus says somehow it's going to come out. And this is that either or part, like I talked about last week, that's either this or this, and it can't be both. Any and all teaching comes from either a good tree or a bad tree. Good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. So if someone is really a wolf, no matter how hard they try to hide it, it's going to come out somehow. There are several different places when Paul and Peter are talking in Scripture about false prophets. They talk about their greed. That seems to be a fairly common indicator of someone who's really a wolf. They're in it for the money. It's really all about money. And some are really good at making a lot of money at it. Some are in it for power and popularity. They want a following that makes them feel good to have that power. Some use the position that they achieve for the purposes of immorality, preying on the weak. And so we might be able to see who they really are by the life they live. We might. We might be able to tell because of what they teach. That's the fruit of who they are can come out in what they teach. If we are diligent to test everything we hear and study God's word for ourselves so we know as well as we can what God's word actually says, we might be able, even if they're really good at leaving out just a few important things while they wrongly emphasize other things, it can be hard, but we might be able to tell and catch what they're trying to sneak. We might see the results of it in the lives of those who have believed them. The fruit of their teaching can come out in the lives of others. If someone's teaching results in people living lives of licentiousness, something's not right. Somebody gets the impression that sin doesn't matter, you can live however you want. Something's not right. If the fruit of someone's teaching is that people become more selfish and proud and greedy, that's fruit that comes from a bad tree. We need to think about these kinds of things. We need to be watchful. We need to be careful that we are not deceived. Now, way back, it's not that long ago, but when I started, I mentioned the bad men that were on the most wanted list. But keep in mind that these false prophets aren't just men. There are women deceivers too. Jesus warned the church in Thyatira that was tolerating the teaching of the false prophetess Jezebel, leading people to death. So ladies and gentlemen, be careful. Be careful about what you read. Be careful about who you listen to. There are wolves. They come to you. They're dangerous. Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron." It kind of looks like we might be in those latter days, doesn't it? And there are many false prophets. This is real. This has eternal consequences. We need to believe what Jesus says. Beware of false prophets. Be careful. Careful who you listen to. Careful what you read. Test everything. Know God's word so you can test everything against God's word. There are wolves. They're dangerous. Be careful.